from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
A politician under fire for deceiving your constituents, a top 10 film from last week you should try and go see, and a pastor makes national news for praying. That's all coming up on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. For months, we've been encouraging you to pray for Pastor Andrew Brunson as he was being held in prison in Turkey. Last Saturday, after his release, Pastor Brunson met with President Trump at the White House, and in a powerful moment, he prayed for the president.
We would like to pray for you. We pray for you often.
Thank you.
As a family, my wife and I pray for you.
Thank you. Well, I need it probably more than anybody in this room. So that would be very nice. Thank you.
Could we pray for you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Lord God, I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on President Trump, that you give him supernatural wisdom to accomplish all the plans you have for this country and for him. I ask that you give him wisdom in how to lead this country into righteousness. I ask that you give him perseverance and endurance and courage to stand for truth. I ask that you protect him from slander, from enemies, from those who would undermine. I ask that you make him a great blessing to this country. Fill him with your wisdom and strength and perseverance. And we bless him. May he be a great blessing to our country. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
And I just want to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on the President, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Amen.
That was his wife, Noreen, also praying for the president. With us now is Congressman Mark Meadows. He represents the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina. He serves on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee, and the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. And he was very involved in the efforts to bring Pastor Brunson home. Congressman Meadows, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it is great to be back with you, Tony. And what a day of celebration to know that not only Pastor Brunson is back home, but our God still reigns over the affairs of nations. And so it is a great day of rejoicing.
It is. And that was a powerful moment. You witnessed it. It was a powerful moment when he prayed for the president there in the Oval Office, which was being broadcast literally around the world.
Well, it was a powerful moment. I think for me, it was really just seeing that you had a man of God that not only had he been in prison, but at times it looked very, very bleak. You know more than anyone. You've not only been an advocate for Pastor Brunson and his family, but you've kept it at the forefront of where our consciousness needs to be. Sometimes what happens is that there's a moment where everybody is focused on a problem and then they forget. And yet it is the prayers of brothers and sisters across the globe that have been lifted up. And in the work behind the scenes with a number of people, certainly your involvement has been key, not only for the pastor, but for members of Congress like me to continue to remind us that, that our job was not finished. And we had a champion in the president. Listen, you and I know we've been through this before with other people that have been held captive. And sometimes administrations are not willing to put the full force of the United States government in that diplomatic negotiation. And yet this president, this administration did so. And the president deserves just an unbelievable gratitude, not just from Republicans or Democrats or unaffiliated, but from those who believe in religious liberty. And it was a powerful moment as the president was prayed for by Pastor Brunson.
You know, that's an interesting point. I actually hadn't thought about that, but you and I have worked on other cases. And Ed, in those cases have been where we did not have an administration that really cared about actually Americans being held. At least they didn't put any effort into it, and religious freedom was certainly not on the top of their list. To have an administration that actually makes this a priority, and I actually talked to the vice president earlier today, this is a top priority. And he again underscored that the president was leading on this. It is important to the vice president, but it's important to the president. It's important to the secretary of state. It's really important to the whole team, John Bolton. And of course, members of Congress are finding you don't have to lift. The lift isn't as heavy because you've got an administration. People need to understand that this is one of those things where you talk about elections have consequences. These good things happen because the right people are in place.
Oh, you're exactly right, and you're right. It's the vice president, the president, certainly the entire team. They made me feel like there was no higher priority than getting this passed for home. And when you see it negotiated in that manner, I had the opportunity to not only talk to the pastor and his wife, but to his children. They were so unbelievably grateful. And it lets us know that Americans will not be left behind, and we will stand mm-hmm. up to those who are really trying to take the name of Christ and say, we're going to imprison people when indeed they weren't. I mean, the pastor wasn't a spy or anything else. It was just an unjust treatment. And for a people that he loves, it was really telling. You could see Christ-like love because indeed he was saying, I love the Turkish people. He said that there in the Oval Office. And that's saying something after being imprisoned against your will.
Absolutely, without question. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, my guest. We're talking about the pastor, Andrew Brunson, coming home this Saturday. Mark, you were actually one of the first to talk to him because we connected on the flight over the Atlantic Ocean. And you were able to talk with Pastor Brunson, and I wanted him to talk with you because of all of the work that you've been doing on his behalf. He's such a humble man, but this not only, I mean, obviously extremely important to him and his family that he's reunited with his family, he's back safely in the United States, but this sends a message around the world to those who would abuse, persecute, prosecute people for their faith, whether they be Christian or otherwise. It shows that America is back as a leader. We're no longer leading from behind. We're leading from the front.
Well, you're exactly right. It is that leadership role, and it's interesting that you share that because, as you know, you were an ambassador for this administration going over, heavily involved, took a letter that I got to see a picture of, a letter from the president, signed by the president, gave it to Pastor Brunson while you were in Turkey. But here's the interesting thing is, I've actually gotten text messages from abroad, from missionaries abroad that said that they were so thankful that God has used this president to really let them know that religious freedom is something that we value in the United States, and it sends a real message to countries that perhaps believe that persecution should be the priority, and yet this president and this administration and believers, brothers and sisters, know that indeed that religious liberty is alive and well.
Yeah, I think this is what a reset of foreign policy looks like. They pushed the reset button from the previous administration. No longer will the well-being of Americans or the fundamental right of religious freedom be sacrificed on the altar of globalism. This is what America First looks like. And the entire world, at least those who love freedom, benefit from that.
Well, they do. And I think the other interesting thing is, Tony, is what happens across the globe when they see that we're willing to stand up for religious freedom. Now, in this particular case, it happened to be a Christian pastor. But as you and I both know, we advocate for all faiths that they have the ability to truly practice and worship their faith with the protection here in the United States of the Constitution. And when they see that we take it that serious, that it's not just lip service, it lets people know that there's something different about the United States of America and the freedoms that we enjoy. And the pastor, as you mentioned, what a meek but powerful word that he was able to communicate to the president. A humble man, you could tell that the attention and all the cameras and the microphones that were all over the place is not something that he's used to, and yet you could just see a real compassion and love for his fellow man.
You can find out more about Pastor Brunson and Mark Meadows when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the donate button. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
On Sunday, November 4th, join millions of Americans who are pledging to pray, vote, and stand for our nation. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. Hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, and others broadcasting from Karis Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. Go to TheEvent2018.com for more information and to tune into the webcast.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In a video released on Monday, Project Veritas exposed Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill as favoring extreme gun control measures, which she is hiding from voters. Joining Tony Perkins to talk about the video is the head of Project Veritas, James O'Keefe.
James, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me back on.
Hey, good to talk with you. It's good to be with you a couple weeks ago when we were in North Carolina. Hey, I want to play a clip of this video that was released Monday night. Now, I'm not obviously this is radio, so you're just getting the audio of it. But I'm going to play this, and then I want to get you to comment on it.
So you would be on board with the bump stocks?
Of course.
Bump stocks.
Oh, I've voted
high capacity mags.
I've voted for most of those things before.
So for a ban?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can tell them because she does support a semi-automatic firearm ban. Because I want to say something I shouldn't say.
I think semi-automatic, like a semi-automatic rifle ban.
Okay.
Is more so what she would support.
All right. What did we just hear, James?
Well, that was undercover video of campaign workers working for Claire McCaskill clarifying her positions on the Second Amendment. In Missouri, as you probably know, they don't want to talk about guns. They don't want to talk about their positions on guns. So what these staffers said is Claire said that she would support a gun ban. We asked her field staff what that means, and they told us that that means a semi-automatic rifle ban. Claire McCaskill has responded to this video. She has attacked me and accused her opponent of being involved, which is not true. I've never met her opponent. I've never spoken with the Attorney General of Missouri. And she's making those accusations, and she's on defense because this video shows her staffers saying that one has to mislead moderate voters in order to get elected in a state like Missouri. If you're a Democrat in a red state, you have to mislead, but then after you get elected, you can pull a bait and switch. That's what these staffers are on tape saying.
All right, let me fact, I have her statement that she released or that she made following the release of this video. She said, quote, "It is startling that Josh Hawley would be a part of fraudulently embedding someone in my campaign. He's the Attorney General of the state of Missouri. He's supposed to be going after fraud, not participating in it." End of quote. You've never met Josh?
No, I've never met Josh. I don't know Josh Hawley. He doesn't work for me. She also says that we've committed fraud. I don't know what that means by recording the folks. We're committing fraud by recording what they've said. I think the real fraud is the bait and switch. When the worker for her says that that moderate voters are going to have to, quote, get over it, unquote, after they impeach Trump, after misleading them, and they do what they're not supposed to do, or what they told the voters they would not do. That, to me, is a better example of fraud, lying to the constituents. Our cameras just recorded it. So Claire McCaskill, Senator McCaskill, has come out last night on local TV in Missouri attacking me, calling my journalism fraud, accusing the attorney general of being involved in this. It's pretty unbelievable, very unbelievable statements by Claire McCaskill.
Well, okay, first off, all you do is record, and so it's their own words. It's not your words. It's not commentary. It's their words. So that I want to be clear on that, and people can see that. They can go to your website and see it. But here's the question I have for you, James, because this is obviously not the first time you've done this. You've done this quite successfully many times. Why is it that people like this, I'm going to use the word liberal. Why is it they feel so comfortable in openly admitting that they're deceptive and that they will lie?
Well, part of it is hubris and arrogance, that they're not held to account, that the media and the narrative. I'll give you an example. Dave Weigel of the Washington Post tweeted out 2 hours ago about our story that it doesn't matter because she's already been public about some of these things. But Dave Weigel omitted the things that she has not been public about, that she is lying about. So because the media doesn't actually hold any of these red state Democrats accountable, a lot of these guys inside the office were quite open, quite brazen about the deceptions. And it wasn't just one of them. Each and every staffer that we met had a different type of deception. Said Nick Starost. Nick Starost is a campaign staffer for McCaskill. He said that Obama and McCaskill have the same views on everything. And then he said, quote, people just can't know that. People cannot know that. So it seems to me that it didn't take a tremendous amount of espionage for me to do this. I just had to walk in. I had to ask questions and get responses, which is what journalists are supposed to do. And there is a kind of an artifice that pervades our politics where reporters don't challenge these people because they like them. And therefore, it's quite easy for an undercover person to get the information very quickly.
It amazes me that that people could be so deceptive and duplicitous in their conversations. I mean, you would think they would hide this stuff. James O'Keefe, out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. And I understand there's still more to come.
We released a video today about how McCaskill conceals Planned Parenthood contributions, and her staffers say that they have to essentially lie to get elected and mask the contributions to appeal to pro-life Democrats. That's just come out. It's the second video in the series on McCaskill, and I urge everyone to take a look at it, ProjectVeritasAction.com.
All right, James O'Keefe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
To find out more about James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, just head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. A film about Kermit Gosnell, the late-term abortionist in Philadelphia, hit the top 10 at the box office over the weekend. Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer, opened in theaters on October 12th, and joining FRC's Tony Perkins to talk about it is the director of the film, Ann McElhinney.
Ann, welcome to Washington Watch.
It's great to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me. So we have theaters now across America. This film did phenomenal business at the weekend. We were the number one independent movie in the country. And the theaters where we're doing most money, where the most money is being made, they're dropping us. They're going to drop the movie. They're not going to continue to play it. We have reports from all over the country where people have gone to a theater where they know it's playing. There's no movie poster up. It's not on the marquee. They've almost left the theater thinking, oh my God, it's not here. We've gone to the wrong theater. They've gone to theaters and been told by the guy selling the tickets, you don't want to go and see that. Why don't you go and see Venom instead? Why don't you see The Nun instead? And I can tell you on the other side, on the flip side of that, we're seeing, and your listeners can look on Facebook at the Gosnell Movie Facebook page and look at what people who see the movie are seeing. People, and I just, it's incredible what's happened. So everyone basically says that when they go, the people who've been to the theaters, that at the end, people sit to the very, very end of the credits. In one place, a priest stood up and said, would anyone like to pray? And everyone stayed and everyone prayed. Other people have written and said that they left in complete silence and went into their car and prayed. In other places, people huddled in groups in the foyer of movie theaters. I mean, you know how unusual a place that is to see that kind of activity. And so this is what we're getting from the audience. And I can tell you that the warfare from the establishment is phenomenal. NPR wouldn't take our money. Facebook wouldn't take our money. They don't want our money. Like they rejected all our ads, including an ad that was a screen grab of Dean Cain talking to Tucker Carlson. So that was unacceptable. So I would say to your listeners, they need to get out there. They need to get out there in numbers. They need to go out and buy tickets, even if they can't go and see the movie themselves. But they need to get people to go, and they need to go in large numbers, because there is something, the strength of this movie is phenomenal. I cannot tell you. I could be on your show all day reading the most beautiful, beautiful letters from people who've also changed their mind about abortion, by the way, from watching the movie.
I know, and I know that, Anne, this has been a long process because, you know, I think we've kind of walked along as you've done this all the way back to where you had to do the crowdfunding to get the money to do this. We had it at the Values Voters Summit. Well, it's because of the work that you're doing, and I just want to commend you on the tenacity that you've shown here in not giving up, because, you know, even going back to the very beginning when you tried to get the money to do this and you had were blocked by GoFundMe and had to go to another crowdfunding source, and it's just been one obstacle after another, but you've seen it through to fruition. I mean, we were at the Values Voters Summit, Dean Cain was there, and that created a blow up. I mean, it seems like all of these things have just drawn more attention to the movie, I think, causing more people to want to go see it. Why is the left so opposed to this? I think that's piquing the interest of a lot of people just because of the opposition, don't you?
No, you're totally right. And I'm actually surprised myself. People have written and said they just didn't know. Like, they didn't know, and that the film has instructed them. They thought they knew things. I mean, people have written and thought that they thought that abortion was at 3 weeks. People have written and said, I never knew. And my husband says this all the time. He says Planned Parenthood are geniuses, that they have managed to pull the wool over people's eyes. The people just don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. You certainly know when you come out of this movie about what abortion is. And that's the reason. That's the reason that they're so violently opposed to us. I mean, and you're kind of right. In some ways, it kind of somehow is helping us in some ways, because it's so blatant. You know, people have gone, I mean, a beautiful woman has written, and actually people can look at this stuff on Twitter and on Facebook. And it's really amazing. One woman wrote an amazing story on Twitter, and she had come out of the theater, was very, very upset, and sat in her car. She prayed for 15 minutes, and she herself had been pregnant, had gone for an abortion, had seen the ultrasound and changed her mind, and the staff had put pressure on her. And she said she just didn't have the courage or the confidence, and she was alone, and she went through with it. And she says, I mean, people can read this. I mean, it's worth reading. She said that she always felt the baby was a girl, and that she had named the girl Gracie. And I know you know the film very well, I know that. And at the last scene in the movie, there is a child that is saved, and the child that's saved is called Gracie. Can you imagine how that woman felt when she saw that? It was almost like the film was speaking directly to her. And we have had those messages from a lot of people.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. Anne McElhaney, my guest, producer and director of Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. Okay. And so give our folks some instruction. How can they find out about the movies, where they can go and they can buy tickets?
Your listeners can go to gosnellmovie.com right now, find out what theater near them is playing the film. If it's not playing in your local theater, why don't you go and demand it? Go to the local theater and demand it, and get everyone in your group, get everyone in your church, in your prayer group, in your Bible study group, get everyone to phone up and say, why is this not, why are you not showing this? Because I can tell you that those messages go back to corporate, and corporate don't like being unpopular. You know, despite everything, they don't seem to like being unpopular. I mean, I'm finding these results of these movie theaters where we're like the number 9 or the number 8 or the number 5 movie in a movie house where there's 13 movies playing, and they're dropping us. You know, like,
now, what's the explanation for that?
They're not giving an explanation, and they don't feel like they need to. You know, and we've heard, like, it's hearsay, but we have heard from people that movie houses have said they don't want that film. They don't want that film. Our distributor said he has never come across this. Now, he's in business. He needs to continue to work with these people because he's going to have other movies. So he can't have a big fight with everyone. But I'd like your listeners to have a fight with people, and they can say, I don't understand this. This is an incredible movie. This movie is number one of the independent movies in the United States. It's something I care about, my family care about, this whole country. And most of the people in this country, a huge number of people in this country, care deeply about this issue. And what's wrong with you? Why won't you show this film? People need to do that. You know, it's like the Chick-fil-A story. I was just thinking about this today. When the Chick-fil-A people got into trouble, I remember finding out where the local Chick-fil-A was, and it was an hour and a half from where I live. And I remember saying to the people I work with, I said, look, I'm not saying anything to anyone about anything, but I'm going to Chick-fil-A today. If anyone likes to come, I'm buying lunch. And we drove there, and we had this beautiful, like a really beautiful moment with all the other people who went to Chick-fil-A. You know, a really lovely moment of solidarity with those people and met great people. And I think people are experiencing that in the movie theaters. So that's what I'm telling people to do. You know, buy tickets, buy multiple tickets, get the word out. You'll never regret it. There are people who are going to see it 3 and 4 times now.
Well, and we'll encourage people to pray as well, understanding that there's a spiritual battle here, because there is truth here that is being released on the nation. And once you have truth, and once you've been confronted with it, you're accountable. Ann McElhaney, thank you so much for the tenacity in seeing this movie through, and thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Tony, for being such a supporter from the get-go. It meant the world to us. Thank you, and God bless.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.